Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. We are a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, please visit www.vcnola.com. Here is this week's message.
Good morning, church. How are you doing on this beautiful rainy day? You made it. It is good to see you this morning. Hey, as Pastor Dustin said, my name is Matthew Weaver, and I serve here as one of the pastors, and I'm excited to bring the word today and hopefully encourage you with what God has put on my heart. First things first, I want you to open your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And if you do not have a Bible, would you just raise your hand really quick? Connect team actually has extra copies of the Bible we can give you as a gift from us to you. So just raise your hand if you need that, and they'll be awesome. We got a few back here. Hebrews chapter 10. Before we dive in this morning, I do want to give two shout outs once again. Number one, I want to thank our lead pastor, Dustin Turner, for who he is. We love him, right? But particularly, tomorrow is a special day because he turns 38 years old. So let's thank God for him. Just want you to wish him a happy birthday. We're not going to sing as a church. We're going to keep moving for time's sake. But when you see him after church, wish him a happy birthday tomorrow. And secondly, I do want to thank this awesome group for coming. This is really cool for me. Y'all can thank them. This is the Georgia College and State University. People get that mixed up because there's Georgia Southern, Georgia State, and it gets so confusing, but you got to say all of it, right? Georgia College and State University, which is in Milledgeville, Georgia, which is kind of the middle of the state. That's where I went to college, and this is really cool for me for several reasons, but first of all, this is the time in my life where God really, really confirmed my calling into ministry. And so this is special for me to have them in town. But I want to thank two people and give them shout-outs really quick. My cousin is here, and I'd like him to stand up. He doesn't know I'm doing this. This is my cousin, Jackson. Yeah. Good job. We're really close, and we grew up next door to each other and just stay in touch. And so it's so cool to have him here. And then my campus minister, David, can stand up as well. He doesn't like that, but thanks, David. David is the campus minister that I had when I was there. He is still there, and now my cousin is there too. So it's just really cool to have them here. And they basically ran fill the fridge for us yesterday. And so we want to thank you guys for serving and being here this weekend. So we're in our series called what? Dimensions, right? That's what this thing is behind me. It's like this image of different dimensions, right? And as we think about the word dimensions, we specifically, in this season of Lent, preparing for Easter, we specifically think about the cross of Jesus Christ. And we think about all the dimensions of what the cross accomplished. When Jesus died on the cross, there are many, many dimensions to what that death on the cross accomplished on our behalf. And so we have been walking through this series. If you've missed any sermons, the website should be on the screen. If you want to scan that QR code, you can go back and catch up on the sermons. But we have talked about, so far, the topics of sacrifice and justification, reconciliation and adoption, redemption and forgiveness, revelation and example, and today we're going to look at the cross accomplishing healing and holiness. Healing and holiness. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. We walked through, if some of you have been around for a while, we actually walked through the book of Hebrews a while ago, and we called the series, Can't Stop, You Remember. Excellent. Dustin, did you hear that? They remembered. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. We would yell that out every single week, right? As we learned about the Christian life teaching us to persevere. We can't stop, we won't stop. And as we look at Hebrews 10, I want to just quickly remind you of the context of what the book of Hebrews is all about. The book of Hebrews is written to a Jewish Christian audience, those that had grown up in the customs of the Old Testament, those that were Jewish, that were part of the nation of Israel, that God used in the Old Testament to set this people apart, to represent him, and to go and reach other people with the kingdom of God. And so this is sort of the audience of the book of Hebrews. And then Jesus had come, Jesus had died, and Jesus had resurrected. And now the author of Hebrews is writing to a Christian audience that is accustomed to the Old Testament law. And what he's encouraging them to do is to now embrace and walk into the new covenant of the finished work of Jesus. And we're going to unpack what that looks like a little bit this morning. But Jesus had come, right, not to abolish the law, not to say the Old Testament didn't matter, but Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And now these Christians were to embrace that reality as well, from the old covenant to the new covenant. And so what we're going to see here is that when we embrace the finished work of Jesus on the cross, we experience healing and holiness. Here's our main idea. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This kind of leads us into the sermon. The main idea is that the healing and holiness that Jesus provides makes us whole. The healing and holiness that Jesus provides makes us whole. And because of the work of Jesus on the cross, our brokenness and our sin, we have a solution to that problem, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can recover the wholeness that sin has distorted, right? Because of what Jesus has done. So, Hebrews 10, we're going to start in verse 1. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Before I read, let me give you truth number one. Truth number one, okay? The Old Testament law and sacrifices revealed the need for healing and holiness. The Old Testament law and sacrifices revealed the need for healing and holiness. Look at verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4 in Hebrews 10 says this, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." The Old Testament law and sacrifices reveal the need for healing and holiness. I want you to think about two words from these verses that I just read. The two words are law and sacrifices. Law and sacrifices. In the Old Testament, when you think about the law, you need to think about three categories, okay? There was the moral law, and the moral law was the way that you lived, your actions, your kind of your lifestyle, right? There was the ceremonial law, and that was all about sacrifices and rituals and celebrations and traditions and of worship and stuff like that. And then there was the civil law. The civil law was how to relate to culture and society as those that are following after God in a dark culture, right? And the total number of laws that the Old Testament is listed is 613. Can you imagine? 613 laws, and the Ten Commandments were basically the first 10, and they laid the foundation for the other 600, right? And so 613 laws is what the nation of Israel was given. So here's the issue that they faced. Because they had broken the moral law, right? They couldn't keep the law, right? Those in the Old Testament could not fully uphold God's standard. Because they had not kept the law perfectly, they then needed the ceremonial laws to make sacrifices for their sins. So once a year, the nation of Israel would go to the priest and bring bulls and goats and stuff like that, and they would make a sacrifice, and that would be sort of that yearly atonement for their sins. And the problem with that system, right, is that it would not ultimately solve the problem of sin. It would not completely heal eternally anyone from their sins. Because every year, it was a cycle, right? Now, did it serve a purpose for that time period? Absolutely. But the ultimate purpose of what the law and sacrifices was to reveal the need for a Savior to come and fully heal us from our sins. And so in this text that I just read, you heard me say, the verse says, in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. So every year when you're going to make that sacrifice for that sin and bring that animal to the altar, you're reminded of your sin, right? The text also says that the law was a shadow of things to come. A shadow. And that means that the law and the sacrifices pointed to something else. Think about a shadow for just a minute. Have you ever, if you have little kids, or maybe you've played with little kids before outside and it's a beautiful day and you can kind of make a shadow on the ground, right? I've done that before with my son. We're outside playing or something, and I like move my body around and like make, you know, funny movements that then go to the shadow. And sometimes it's so funny to watch, you know, animals even, or little kids see the shadow and they're like, whoa, what is going on here? What is that thing, right? And the shadow is really not just about the shadow. It's not ultimately about what you're seeing on the ground. The shadow is pointing to the person creating the shadow. So if I'm not making these movements and doing these things, then the shadow will not appear. And so in the book of Hebrews, the author is saying that the law and the sacrifices are a shadow of things to come. They are pointing to the giver of the shadow. The true reflection of the law and sacrifices is Jesus Christ. So that's the purpose of that. The law and the sacrifices were not the end result. They were pointing to Jesus coming. It was all temporary, and it pointed to a greater need. You're probably seeing very quickly that yearly sacrifice was not sustainable. Can you imagine today having to keep doing that? That was not sustainable, right? When I think about that reality and kind of what that was pointing to and how it wasn't sustainable, I think about life and I think about seasons of life. There's certain seasons of life that you and I walk through that it's very obvious when we quickly notice that this season, this situation that I'm in, is not sustainable. You've been there. Job, family, whatever you've got in mind right now, if you're not in it right now, you've been in it before. Or you'll be in it again later, where seasons come and go. And that's the great thing about seasons, is that they are seasons. They're temporary. They're not going to last forever. But when you're in a season of life that you can clearly see, this is not sustainable. This cannot be long-term for me. You are working towards and praying towards, and although you don't want to miss a season that God has you in, because God teaches you something in every season, your heart's desire and your prayer to God is, Lord, I would love to get out of this season. I would love something more sustainable that can work for the longer term. And that's the way that I view the law and the sacrifices. They served a purpose for the Old Testament, but then Jesus came. And that's the sustainable thing, right? That's what lasted. That's what brought eternal healing and holiness. So the Old Testament law and sacrifices reveal the need for healing and holiness. Number two is this. Jesus brings eternal healing and holiness. Amen? Jesus brings eternal healing and holiness. Look at verse 5. I'm going to read 5 through 14. Verse 5, the author says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. And when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law, Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Keyword, never. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And he was waiting from that time until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus brings eternal healing and holiness. And what the author is getting at now is he is quoting from Psalm chapter 40. From Psalm chapter 40. And there's kind of a dialogue taking place here between God the Father, God the Son. How God the Son is God, they are communicating about the will of God, right? And that he's going to send his Son. He's going to be obedient to the Father. And the Old Testament prophesied and spoke to the need for a Savior and the coming of the Savior. And so Psalm 40, the David is writing this psalm and he is speaking into what's to come as God is speaking to him and saying, Christ is coming to eternally heal us from this problem of sin. And really what the verses get at is why Jesus needed to come. Why Jesus needed to come. And here's the simple answer. Jesus came to take away sins. Very simple. Jesus came to take away sins. Not temporarily, but permanently. And as the people and the priest would do this year after year, that was no more to be the case. Jesus' death on the cross fully covered our sins. So now let's look at verse 15 through 18. Let's keep reading. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law on their hearts and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So there's a progression taking place here, if you haven't noticed, right, in this chapter. The chapter starts off with talking about the Old Testament law and sacrificial systems and what needed to happen for sin to be forgiven and atoned for. And then it moves to Jesus coming and Jesus being the embodiment of God, right? He is God. He is fully perfection. He fulfilled the law. He came. He lived. He died. He resurrected. He took sins. And then what happens? The next thing that happens is he sends us his Spirit. And so the next thing is this. The finished work of Jesus brings healing and holiness into our hearts. Our hearts. It's in us now. And now the author is quoting from Jeremiah 31. He references the Old Testament a lot. Because remember, this is a Jewish Christian audience. They were familiar with that Old Testament. And so the author is giving them Old Testament scriptures to speak about this new covenant that spoke about Jesus coming for them to really let that sink into their life and their hearts. And so Jeremiah 31 is telling us about the law no longer being written on stones just to visibly read, but now the law is put in our what? Let's say that again. That was not very confident. The law is put in our hearts. Amen. Who God is and what he stands for resides in us if we know him through the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus brings us eternal healing and holiness. Isn't that good news? Okay, so now you see a framework for how this works in the Bible and how this was laid out for the book of Hebrews. Now I want you to think about your life. I want to kind of now transition to some practical thoughts for us today. As we think about the Old Testament revealing the need for a Savior, revealing our sin, reminding us that we have missed the mark, and then we see the New Testament showing us the solution to that problem, now the question becomes, what does it look like today for me and you to live in healing and holiness? I want to give you two things. Number one, healing comes through a relationship with Jesus. Healing comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me remind us, what do we need to be healed from? Our sins. Whether you want to admit it or not, and we usually don't want to admit this because it takes humility, right? And we all struggle with pride, every single one of us in some way. We struggle with sin. We are born into sin. We're not born Christians, right? We're not born saved. We're born needing saving. We're born into a fallen, broken world because of sin. And because of that problem, we need a solution. Because there is absolutely no way that you and I can be healed from our sins on our own strength. There is absolutely no way. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't attend church enough. None of that's going to save you, right? And so as we think about the purpose of Jesus coming, we need to think about healing. We need to be healed from the inside out from our sins. That's our biggest problem. All the other issues that we know and that we can just spout out left and right, they all stem back to sin. Every issue that is broken and fallen and off and brings disorder in our world, it's not about that specific issue at the core. It's about sin. And because of sin, things happen. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came to heal us, heal our soul, our hearts, and our life from sin. Through the work of Jesus, we are brought back into peace and unity and love with God. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you might be thinking, I'm not that bad of a person. Like, I haven't done this and that. And you know, you looked at this person and you see something they've done, you're like, well, I haven't done that, so I must be good. And you try to justify what you've done. If we've all done that to some extent, I mean, I've done that, and it's easy to say, well, they're worse off than me. Well, no, actually, we're all pretty bad off apart from Christ. And so my first question for you is, have you been healed through a relationship with Jesus? Romans 10, 9 through 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So if you're here today and you know that your sin has separated you from God and you have not trusted in Jesus, you can know Jesus. If you repent of your sins and you make a 180 away from your current life towards Christ, you repent and then you trust in him, you proclaim that Jesus is God, that he did rise from the grave, and he does love you, and he is coming back again, you'll be saved. So if that's you, give your life to Christ. Trust in him. And then be baptized and grow as a disciple of Jesus. So, healing comes through a relationship with Jesus. Secondly, holiness. Holiness comes through sanctification in Jesus. Sanctification in Jesus. To be holy is to be like Jesus. to put away sin, and to live a life that is pleasing to God and reflecting who Christ is. Because our ultimate goal is not to be like our favorite athlete or even our parents ultimately. Like, we could learn things from people, but our ultimate goal as Christians is to become more and more like who? Jesus. God, Jesus. He gives us the example of what to strive for. And when we have his Spirit, we can actually pursue that. And so to be holy is to become more like Jesus. And to grow in Jesus, there's a theological word called sanctification. If you've never heard of this word, I'll explain it. On the screen, you'll see three words. You see justification, sanctification, glorification. This is your life as a Christian in summary. When you give your life to Jesus and you are healed from your sins through the gospel of Jesus, you experience justification. You are made right with God. He forgives you of your sins, and there is no guilt, no shame. You are brought into peace with God. You're justified. He looks at you not as a sinner. That's a one-time thing, right? Justification. Well, now let's go to the end. Glorification is the end. Either when you die or Jesus comes back, right? When you have finished this life, you've run your race, you've persevered, and you see Jesus. But there's a middle process, isn't there? That's what we're in right now. And that is called sanctification. And that's hard. That's the not so glamorous part of these three words. But it's key, it's crucial. So if you want to walk in holiness through sanctification in Jesus, you've got to seek him, pursue him, stay in community, stay rooted in God, spiritual discipline, saying no to sin, confessing your sins to God and others, reading his word, prayer, serving. Church, these aren't just things that we do because we do them. These are things that should help position us and spur us on through the power of the Spirit to go through sanctification, to grow and mature and become more like Christ. So holiness comes through sanctification in Jesus. We're going to sing in just a minute. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Pastor Mark is going to make his way back up, and we're going to sing a couple more songs. But before we do that, let me remind you of how I started this sermon. Healing and holiness. The main idea was the healing and holiness that Jesus provides makes us whole. Raise your hand if you want to experience wholeness. Every hand should be going up. Just probably some of y'all are just tired. I get it. Yeah, wholeness. When I tell you to raise your hand, it's just more like, I need you to do something. I know you don't want to raise your hand. So, none of us love living in brokenness. I mean, think about it. Our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our circumstances. Brokenness is not fun. But until you acknowledge that there is brokenness, you cannot be healed. Until you acknowledge that something is wrong with you and this world, you cannot move forward the way you should. And so as you think about brokenness and wanting wholeness, wholeness is how things were meant to be before the fall. Think of Adam and Eve, man, like put in the garden, everything was beautiful. There was shalom, there was perfection, there wasn't sin. I mean, everything was just was peaceful and beautiful, and there was harmony and everything. They were loving life, and then the serpent, Satan, came and deceived them, and they gave in to sin, and now we have brokenness. But the end result is not going to be brokenness. We experience brokenness now, but one day all we will know is wholeness. And we're on this journey right now of giving our brokenness to Jesus and asking him to heal us, to make us holy, and to give us glimpses right now of wholeness. we can walk in wholeness with Christ right now. Even as we overcome, we fight sin, we overcome it, we can still experience the powerful presence of God right now. And it's all pressing towards complete wholeness one day. Think about road work. Just think about it for just a moment in this area. Think about bumpy roads. Think about lanes closed. Think about terrible, just frustrating roads that we drive on. And then I want you to think about the work that the workers do to make the roads better. And we are so thankful for that, aren't we? But can we be completely honest? In the midst of the road work, we get impatient and so frustrated. I know I do. There was a lot of road work near my son's school, and it would slow everything down. There were like extra bumps and everything. And it was just like 3 weeks in a row for carpool. And I was like, man, when is this going to end? And it was just so frustrating. And as I see them putting in that hard work, I'm like, thank you guys. But I'm also like, could you not do this like another time? But then as I think about it, I'm like, no, another time it's going to be the same thing. And a lot of times around here when they're doing road work, they'll have these signs up. I've seen these signs that say, pardon our progress. So they're trying to make progress with the roads. But they say, please pardon our inconvenience for you. We're trying to make this better for you. Be patient with us. And you just think about that around here, wherever you drive, it seems like you're always going to run into some kind of road work. Once it's fixed, it's got to get fixed again. It's only going to be fixed for so long, right? But think about how frustrating it is to wait on the road work to get done. But when they finish the project and you drive on smooth roads and that bump is gone, and you can hold your coffee in your hand without it going everywhere. Maybe that's just me, but I drive with an open mug of coffee, just a habit. And I hit that bump and I'm like, oh, forgot about that bump. And then when that bump is fixed, I go across and I'm like, ah. It's worth it, right? You're thankful that they do that. And as frustrating as that can be for us, when it's fixed and we can drive in a more convenient way, we're so glad they did all that work. And I think that's a great metaphor, as cheesy as it is, for the Christian life. Because life is full of bumps. Life is full of road work, setbacks, frustrating circumstances, inconvenient stuff, suffering and pain. And when we're going through it and we're trying to push through it or maybe find a way around it when we can't, God teaches us something in that process, doesn't he? And he gives us patience and he sanctifies us through those frustrating times. And then when we see the other side of that, we get a glimpse of wholeness, don't we? Well, the encouraging thing is, don't worry, the road work won't be going on forever. One day, all there will be is smooth roads. One day, it's just going to be peace and complete wholeness. But we got to keep going in that direction and trust what God is doing. And the only way we can do that is through the healing and holiness of the cross of Jesus Christ. He's made a way. I want to read verse 14 as I close. Hebrews 10:14 sums everything up really well. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Two words. I want you to look at perfected. He has perfected. Meaning he has healed you from your sins. Through Jesus, you're healed from your sins. The second word I want you to look at is sanctified. He'll make you holy as you walk in holiness. Only Jesus can do that. So the two questions for you to think about, will you be healed? And will you walk in holiness? Will you be healed? And will you walk in holiness? Why don't you bow your heads for a minute? I want you to take a moment before I pray and think about where you're at with the scriptures I read and the truths and application here. First question to think about and pray about is, have you been healed? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you know him? If not, right now in your seat or whenever you want, whenever God is leading you to do that, you just confess your sins, repent, put your faith and trust in him, let someone know, get baptized, and allow the church to encourage you in your walk with God. Second question is, if you have been healed, what's an area of your life that you need God's sanctifying work to make you more holy? What's an area? What's a roadblock you're experiencing right now? What's a bumpy road that's difficult for you? And you need the work of Christ and Spirit to help you persevere through it, but also to help you learn from it and grow from it. I want you to think about that. And that's what I want you to take home with you today, is what is God doing and what's your next step? So God, as we think about all this and we thank you for the healing and holiness of your cross, God, I ask that you would help us to reflect on where we are in this journey. Have we embraced the finished work of the cross? Have we been healed? And what area in our life do we need to surrender to you and give to you to walk in more holiness, God? So as we respond now, God, would you lead us and guide us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. If you're enjoying this content, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll see you next week.